The guys shooting from the farmhouse windows don't last long. As the FBI gets into position, they shoot back, and within seconds, those guns are quiet. Ahead of you is a grass field in which the gang has parked their cars. Beyond that is the house and the bunker. Jack Springley, in full body armor, comes out to meet you. All right, so we don't know what's in the bunker or the farmhouse. We were trying to get an informant on the inside so that we could map out the place, but here we are without that. The house has a front and back door. We don't know if it connects to the bunker. The bunker, as far as we can tell, has a pedestrian entrance and a garage entrance, which you can see from here. There's any more tunnels on the property leading outside. We haven't found them, but we're going to try to keep an eye on it.
Well, not to worry about the front entrance. We'll lead.
Not going
to
argue, of course, but food for thought. None of you are bulletproof, are you?
Kimon can find people around corners. We'll get the drop on anyone trying to lay an ambush.
Super hearing, right?
I can speak to animals. The mice in the walls tell me where everybody is.
If you can do that, you ought to have the mice carry little demo charges and take care of the problem so we don't have to send in people.
Have you ever tried to talk a mouse into a suicide mission? They love cheese, but, you know, they won't die for it.
The officers start shouting as a man emerges from the door of the bunker. Paul, you recognize this guy as Heatstroke, but he's wearing some kind of higher-tech supersuit than he normally has. Apparently, they gave him upgrades. He yells, "Where is Freeze Frame?" And then he points his arms in the air. A gout of napalm flies over the parked cars and lands among the police who dive for cover, and also on the parked cars.
Okay, I ice over the fire.
The police shoot back, but the bullets seem to curve around some kind of electrical force field. Another gout of napalm flies overhead. Springley says, "A little help, guys?"
Is there anything really heavy nearby?
At the edge of the parking space, there's a bunch of old tires with the hubs still in them.
Then slink my way like a cat over to the tires, grab one, and then hammer throw it over the parking lot at Heatstroke.
You pick up the tires, spin once, twice, then release. Heatstroke bellows, "Bring me Freeze Frame!" And then there's about 2 seconds of peaceful silence as everyone watches the tire sail gracefully through the air. It lands on Heatstroke's head, forcing his head down into his clavicle, and then bounces straight up, hanging in the air for maybe another second. Shortly after the tire reaches the ground, Heatstroke falls face first into the grass.
Who was that guy?
Calls himself the fireman. His catchphrase is, "I'm the fireman, I'll burn your house down."
That's a terrible catchphrase. Have we ever seen that guy before?
He's a terrible villain.
All right, well, at least he's out of the way. Let's move in before they get anything else to throw at us.
If only you were so quick. The garage door of the bunker rises up, and out steps, boom, boom, robot suit. It stands about 12 feet tall, is armed with guns on both arms, as well as grabbing claws, and a small missile rack on its back. It introduces itself by launching one of those missiles at an FBI truck. Whoosh! Boom! The FBI begins to scramble. Fall back! Fall back!
Wow!
Don't worry. You know what they say. The bigger they are,
the thicker the armor!
No, Kimon. The further they fall.
Paul's right, though. I think his one applies to, like, battleships and tanks and stuff.
Either way, come on, before it shoots another rocket. I rush out from behind the trucks and ice over that rocket pod.
Whoosh! Ice forms over the rocket pod, sparing your line of vehicles from more deadly fire. The robot lumbers forward towards you.
Flux, take me forward. Teleport us behind the car.
I grab Lowry and I teleport us behind a white car in the middle of the lot.
Pachoo, pachoo. With a bright flash and no amount of stealth, you instantly transfer from one location to the other.
Hey, wait a minute. I recognize that air freshener. Is this my car?
Elvis and Lowry, the next thing you guys can really recall might occur several minutes later, as you're looking up at the sky with your head spinning and ringing in your ears. Paul, whether they live to remember will depend on you, because what you observe from where they left you is as soon as they appeared, the robot pointed one arm and fired a concussive grenade at their position. It's not fatal by itself, but their supersuits do nothing to stop the blast, and Flux getting his brains rattled around his noggin for yet a second time probably isn't adding up to a good long-term health prognosis.
Oh, to heck with everything. Springley, is there a way that you can get an Apache helicopter or something?
The other robot arm is a machine gun. Broom! Broom! It fires downfield and bullets slam noisily into the sides of the trucks. They are bulletproof, but this is a heavy machine gun, and it's a lot more punishment than what's normal for a domestic incident. Springley says, "You don't exactly mobilize the National Guard on short notice. I thought this was why we brought you."
Well, you better call them, and in the meanwhile, give me some flash grenades.
Broom, broom. In between salvos, someone runs over with a couple of flash grenades.
All right, well, if a surprise hit worked the first time, maybe it'll work again. I lob a flash grenade at the robot.
Pow! You're not sure if that had any effect, but the robot does stop shooting.
Run back to the tires, pick one up, and chuck that at the robot.
Spin, spin, throw! Donk. The tire bounces off the robot with no real effect. The bigger they are, the thicker the armor. The robot points the machine gun in a random direction and then fires, sending a line of ammunition into the horizon above you. Vroom! It may not have hit anything, but it is still scary.
Okay, run into the woods and hide behind some trees.
I'd call you a coward, but the FBI are falling back at this point, too. Their superhero support crumbled instantly, and this is more ordnance than they were prepared for. The paperwork on this mess is going to be ugly. The robot seems to recover and regains its focus. It's just laying down suppressing fire towards the already devastated police lines while it stomps around the field, likely looking for you. Then, from behind the garage, a man wheels out on one of those laying down bicycles. But it's not just a bicycle, it's got helicopter blades attached to it. He hurriedly wheels out, then yanks on a pull cord, and the bicycle starts to lift up into the sky. With your amazing eyes, you recognize that the man in the contraption to be none other than Daryl Masterson, the super scientist who's been helping Mercury develop super weapons, the same man they hired out from underneath Luna Island, who your son was protecting.
Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, so he's in a flying lawn chair now.
A bicycle, but basically, yes. He's leaned back in it and just flying away.
They can build a giant war robot, but that's the closest thing they've got to an escape pod.
Well, you're not seeing any other escape pods. Rocket fuel is expensive. And complain as much as you want, he is escaping right now. So it's a valid escape mechanism.
Okay. All right, there's two things I can do, and I don't think ignoring it is the correct one. I take off my flip-flop, spend a second lining up my shot and making sure I get this right, and then I throw the flip-flop at Masterson.
Blam! The flip-flop cracks through the air at supersonic speeds. Masterson is not buckled in. The flip-flop itself might have killed him, though it's hard to say. Of course, the point is moot, because he tumbles out of his seat and falls several stories to the ground, turning end over end. The little gyrocopter, now unmanned, spirals out of control, flipping on itself and then veering off into the woods. The thunderclap of your flip-flop exposes your position, the robot turns to see Masterson go down, then turns on you and lumbers at top speed in your direction. Thunk! It fires a round from the grenade launcher.
I abort to sheer defensive anger.
You summon up a dollop of raw, primordial anger. Birds have already scattered and left the area due to the explosions, but if they landed anywhere nearby, the force of your emotions persuade them to go further. Earthworms do their best to dig in a different direction, and a squirrel drops out of a tree next to you in a panic, only to be blasted by the force of a concussive grenade, which politely curves its blast radius around you so as not to make you any angrier. However, that was your turn, and now you're just standing there. The robot reaches your position and in a swift motion lunges for you. It grabs you in its steel claw fingers.
Okay, that's tight.
A voice through an intercom says, "Ah, Kimon. Betrayer of men. Lapdog to the man." It's Mercury.
Come on, I've got other titles.
From your past days of glory, perhaps. Now none of them are flattering, and nothing is more appropriate.
Some magazine or something said I was the nation's most desirable silver fox slash superhero. Although I think Michael did pay them to say that.
A lot of heroes could expect a bit more banter. Not you. The robot reaches up with its other hand, grabs you from the waist down, and then pulls. In one clean industrial motion, you are ripped in half. Agonizingly, you remain conscious as your top half is thrown aside, although it is all mercifully a blur. You hear the thudding footsteps of the robot get further away. There's more gunfire. You hear an explosion. You're not sure what all is happening. And at some point, you're no longer aware of anything. Elvis and Lowry, the two of you might recall looking at the sky for a minute or two. You both have concussions, so it could have been 10 minutes or 20. You don't really remember anything that happened in the time span between when you found Flux's car and when you became cognizant of your surroundings again. You're being worried by a few FBI agents who ask you some questions. You're not sure what your answers were. You get looked at by a guy in a white shirt. Eventually, you're both sitting up against an FBI truck.
What happened?
An FBI agent says, "He just keeps asking that." The guy in white, who you now recognize as an EMT, says, "Yeah, he's suffering from enterograde amnesia. Should be temporary, but it'll be a good idea to do a scan, especially if it keeps going."
No, I'm better. I'm better now. What happened?
The FBI agent says, "You got hit by a grenade. Honestly, you lucked out. We all got it pretty bad."
Oh, I thought the robot punched me or something.
It could flip cars over, man. I don't think you'd be talking if it had done that.
I'm right here. You don't have to yell.
My head hurts.
Yeah, you got hit by a grenade.
How'd they get grenades?
No idea.
Where are we now? Did we get him?
Oh, yes and no. The robot cleared itself a path and fought its way down to the highway. That's around when the National Guard showed up. Sorry, am I still yelling? I got just tinnitus. There was a lot of explosions. Anyway, the robot's toast. After that, we pushed ahead into the bunker. It turned out they had tunnels, but we've got helicopters, so all we had to do was look for groups of guys coming out of the woods. We got a bunch of them all rounded up, but they split up in all directions. Couldn't catch everybody. Some of them got on motorcycles.
Do we have casualties? How many did we lose?
Oh, your guy, Light Show, he saved our lives. He kept making FBI agents in cars for the robot to shoot at. I don't know where he actually was, but it slowed the thing way down while the rest of us got out of there. Heck, he probably saved your life while I'm at it. I mean, I hate to think what he would have done if it felt comfortable enough to go back for you. You did lose one.
Flux is here. Is Light Show okay?
I don't know how you'd want this broken to you, but Kiman is not all right.
Yeah, in the head, normally, but how bad?
Dead. Sorry, that probably came across as too blunt, but
no,
he's dead.
No, he's been reported dead a bunch of times. He fakes it.
The FBI agent just shakes his head, no.
Well, I guess we just have to let Michael know. I get on my phone and I ask someone from the company to come pick us up.
The FBI handles most of the work and cleanup. You'll have to get a full debrief from Springley after this, assuming that he's all right. Light Show interior found, and they ride separately in their own vehicle. A staffer grabs your car, Lowry, and takes it back to HQ. You both get run through a CAT scan by Dr. Major, who reports that you'll both be okay after some rest. You got rattled, but no major damage. Michael comes down to see you guys. He says, "Hey, Freeze Frame, Flux, how are you guys doing?"
Apparently not that bad, unless you count my pride, which is a lot more than wounded.
This is my second concussion within, like, a month. That can't be good, right?
Dr. Major says, I would try to avoid more head injuries, if I could.
It was a mess, Michael. Instead of being a show of force, they mopped the floor with us. Just pop, like that.
Yeah, well, I guess having Rudy made our methods a bit soft. You know, he would have been fine. Light Show's doing all the paperwork right now. There's a lot to report. I don't know if I want to burden you by trying to unpack everything. Are you feeling okay?
No, okay, I'm up for it. Let's talk now.
So there was no body in the robot. Looks like there was a lot of pneumatic tubing in the design, though, from what we recovered of it. And we know mercury can turn into fluid, so we think maybe it was intended for his personal use. An Apache got called in and blew it to heck, but if mercury was in his fluid form, he probably just ran off after that.
God, I was going to put him in a frozen box. I had a joke about putting him on ice, and something to do with Capri Sun. No, I can't remember.
Capri Sun?
Yeah, it was hilarious. Like, the only sun you're gonna see in this cooler is a Capri Sun, you know?
Were you gonna put a Capri Sun in it?
No, but you'd put a Capri Sun in a cooler for your kids, you know, for like a soccer game, but you don't forget it. It would have been funny during a victory because we'd all be in a good mood.
He could be dead, but I don't know what it looks like if a man dies while he's made out of fluid. I mean, I assume he sinks into the earth, and because he's a poisonous metal, he'd be an ecological hazard, but there's no way to verify.
Well, he'll strike again and make himself known if he's still out there.
So, other important news. I don't want to get too gruesome with you, but we didn't find Kiman all in one place.
Yeah, sure, but he doesn't, though, die normally.
Well,
like...
I think he's always had some kind of healing power, because once or twice he got a couple of injuries that Dr. Major here said would be permanent, and they weren't. And we know that there's no way an ordinary guy could get out of some of the incidents that he's vanished in, or you know, just... But there was no pulse. I mean, his organs weren't even all in the same place. So, you never know in this business, but as far as we can tell, he's really gone.
Oh, God. Okay. We cannot deal with this after losing Captain Momentum. Light Show only just joined the team, and the public barely knows him yet, and he's... There's no way to put a bold face on losing Kiman.
EMTs hit the scene, they're private, you know, and it was a big event. So, it's already on the news, people are talking.
Okay. We gotta work with it somehow.
He didn't let them take him down alone, though. An agent says they saw Kiman kill Daryl Masterson, super scientist. Best guess is Masterson built the robot that Mercury was using.
Killed him?
Yeah, he was trying to escape in a gyrocopter and Kiman took him out of the sky.
But Kiman has perfect aim. I don't see why he had to kill him. He can aim to maim or whatever.
I don't know. He's not here to ask.
I mean, this is what we've been worried about. This is what we worried about, isn't it? That eventually he'd have to make a life or death decision and
the upside is that's got to be a crimp in Mercury's superweapon production. They picked up Heatstroke at the scene, and he was also decked out in some serious hardware. Napalm, body armor, and that's all that we know about for sure. They're still looking at it.
But he killed him!
Yeah, sorry, I thought you would take it as good news. That's not the thing the press is really focused on, though. They all want to know two things. Is Mercury dead? Is Kimon dead?
Frankly, the city would be better off if they were both gone. Two villains took each other out.
Smart money is that Mercury got away.
Well, that'd make us look like fools. It doesn't matter what kind of blow we actually dealt. If Kimon is dead and it turns out that Mercury isn't, we'll be in shambles.
The press wants to know today. The internet's already spreading rumors in all directions.
Yeah, I'll bet they think that Kimon is still alive.
There's a theory already getting popular and trending that says Kimon and Mercury faked their deaths to team up.
Okay, I'm not having that. Ask Lightshow if he'd be comfortable creating an illusion of Kimon.
Well, I can see what he says.
As far as the internet and the press are concerned, Kimon is still in action, and we're ahead in this. We sacked their base, we took their things, we got some of their guys, and we didn't lose our people. Not for good.
I'll go talk to Lightshow and get him on the same page. We'll try to arrange a controlled interview as soon as we can. Meanwhile, elsewhere in a morgue somewhere, Kimon, while the rumors of your death have not been exaggerated, the exact nature of your existence has been once again misunderstood. You awake to find yourself leaning over yourself. The other you is dressed up in medical garb. He says, "When I asked when you'd next get yourself killed, I didn't think you'd take it as a challenge."
Shut up and hand me my clothes. These metal slabs they put you on are cold.
Yeah, of course. The whole point is to keep you chilly while they get around to seeing what killed you. It's you, by the way. You killed yourself. So what was it this time?
Oh, I ripped myself in half.
Really? Is that why your legs and body were separated from each other?
You know what I don't love? That to come back to life, I have to be sassed by you. Every time.
I'm sorry, Your Highness. It's not as much trouble as I have to go through to get into these places and pay people to say your body didn't go missing. You know, do you think it's a blessing, or is it just sad that nobody wants to hold an open casket funeral and see your face one last time before you go?
Cremation is in my will. It's very strict. Besides, what do I care? If they ever put me in the ground for good, I don't care how they do it.
Well, what now? You gonna go crawling back to Unstoppable Industries? Or have you got a much worse idea?
Well, I'm dead, right? Nobody expects you to check into work after you die. It's like a vacation.
You know, a lot of guys your age die from normal things, like slipping in the bathtub. One of these days, you know, that'll be me. And I won't make the news. And then you'll die again and just be laying here, wondering when I'm gonna show up. I won't.
Nobody ever said we had to be immortal.
Nobody ever said now's not a good time to go in the restaurant business. My lost brother can show up out of the blue to help me. Of course, he's an ingrate, worthless. Never helped me with any of this until his own stuff fell through.
I love that. Do you have to make it sound so appealing? Gosh, I can barely resist. Whatever, it doesn't matter. This works for me. I've got some people who need tending to, and I was gonna have some trouble if I stayed alive.
All your friends are always better off without you.
Shut up and get out of the way. I got things to do.
You push off, and with your almost identical friend, you find your way out of the morgue. Superhero death is always so much more complicated than life, but the complications are only just beginning.